Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, that's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Monday, November 28th. Good morning and welcome back to the final hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us across America, wherever you may be on this Cyber Monday morning. If you're just joining us this hour, I hope you had a blessed Thanksgiving weekend with your family and loved ones. I hope you had lots of turkey and fun this past weekend. Happy first Monday in Advent. Can you believe the Advent season is here? Only 26 more days until Christmas Eve. So let's remember the reason for the season. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories that are making headlines on this Monday morning?
Well, John, you know, coming home from a Thanksgiving gathering, often we take home more than leftovers. It's a time when illnesses start to spread in the winter months as folks are closed up in houses a little bit more, including COVID. Folks on alert for that. Washington, D.C. schools requiring a negative COVID test before the kids can get back to school today. And in China, lockdowns continue, but protests against those lockdowns, some of the biggest protests against the government in China since Tiananmen Square days, John.
Apparently, the people have had enough. They are fed up with the lockdowns and with the draconian moves by the Chinese government. There's been some horrible stories coming out of the way that the government has been dealing with these lockdowns.
Yeah, they have. I mean, people locked up entire towns, large cities on lockdown for a very, very long time. And 3 years in now, the folks have had enough. China not allowing for saying more than thousands have been killed as opposed to most likely many millions. But one thing, China doesn't use Western vaccines either. And so it hasn't been controlled as well as it has in parts of the West.
Meanwhile, there is a ton of people expected to be shopping today of the cyber variety. 97 million shoppers expected on this Cyber Monday. A lot of money is expected to be spent, over $11.2 billion in sales. But shoppers have to beware, especially on this day.
You know, a great day, I suppose, for shopping online with deals, but beware for some of the scams out there. You know, being the old-fashioned sort, I personally kind of like to wander around the stores a bit, and I haven't even thought about starting that yet, but I was a bit impressed to see my wife sitting on the couch checking things off her list, ordering right there. So, you know, I might be wrestled into the modern age one of these days.
Yeah. You know what? There is something to say about, you know, just sitting there and not having to fight any crowds or anything. So it is kind of nice to get some of that done. I feel like you feel like you get a little multitasking done. You can have a sandwich and do your shopping all at the same time. And then if you get the right deal, it can be shipped right to your house. So there is a lot of weighing options and surveying the different things that are out there. But you do need to be aware, because sometimes you think, oh, it's Cyber Monday, and you got that trigger finger on the mouse, and you might not be as great of a deal as you think. So sometimes you do have to be kind of to be on top of it. So.
Yeah, on the other hand, I actually heard some sound bites of folks who say they enjoy going out and actually physically shopping, not just doing it online. They like to see somebody's eyes and be able to have a conversation and you know, ask somebody for some help while they're trying something on. And, you know, there is something to be said for that. And I guess there was more of that recently, especially on Black Friday, where over $9 billion was spent then. You know, any time before the pandemic.
Well, I can say it's a good thing we have a lot of leftovers to fuel us for all this this shopping frenzy that also seems to cut into workplace productivity on Cyber Monday a bit too here. But hey, how was Thanksgiving for you guys?
Oh, Thanksgiving was great. Thanks for asking, Glenn. Actually, yeah, we had a good time with the family, and weather was still pretty nice, so we got to do some things outside, so that was always nice. One of the days off, not actually on Thanksgiving, we did a little nature walk, but we did do some sharing of disease, I think mostly within our own family, though, because there was a delay from one person to the next getting it, but that, you know, always is a time where you can get a little extra snuggling in, so I don't hate that too much, although we did. It also was a great way to make some turkey noodle soup with some of those leftovers. So we had to clear out some of that refrigerator. What about you, John?
Food, faith, and football would sum it up. I saw a ton of football. I even watched high school state championship football here in Illinois. The Catholic schools did extremely well. Kudos to Mount Carmel and Loyola, who won their respective state championships in this state. But I watched a ton of college football, the big Ohio State-Michigan game. Huge surprise there. And even watched some international football, or soccer as we call it, with the U.S. and England playing that important World Cup game, with the U.S. Giving England all they could handle in that scoreless tie.
Yeah, big game in the World Cup on Tuesday, the U.S. and Iran. The winner moves on and the loser goes home. And so that's coming up tomorrow afternoon, Central Time. As well. For sports, too, got to get outside and enjoy a little hiking, unusually warm weather, take advantage of that. You know, every time it's like warmer than it should be, it's like, oh, come on, we got to go outside for a walk. It's the last time it'll be this nice for like 5 months. And so we do that. But I think the most exercise over the weekend did come on Friday, hauling lots of Christmas decoration boxes out of the basement. Very tired by the end of Friday night.
We did a little bit of that, too. Actually, the Christmas tree is up. No decorations yet. We're going to do it a piece at a time. But at least we got the tree up and going. So
there are many steps to those processes. So take your time. No injuries. No pull any back muscles. Okay.
Absolutely. As always, thanks so much, Sarah and Glenn.
Sure thing, John.
We always begin every hour here on Morning Air, always giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every morning, every show, when we pray, come Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Matthew 24:44. Jesus the Lord says, "You must be prepared in the same way the Son of Man is coming at the time you least expect." The words of our Lord Jesus at the beginning of this Advent season remind us that Advent is about three comings of Christ: as a baby in Bethlehem, at the second coming of Christ on the last day, and Christ comes to us every day as the bread of life in the Holy Eucharist. So during this Advent season, prepare your hearts by going to confession. If you do nothing else, as Father Rocky reminds us, go to confession to receive the Eucharistic Christ with a clean heart this Christmas. And we always pray with great confidence the prayer from the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, Jesus, I trust in you. You can find us on Twitter, at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. You can always shoot us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Our number, if you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149. Now, this morning, we're going to continue our series on the sacraments with our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters. We're going to be talking about what the early church fathers had to say about the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, which was traditionally known in the past as extreme unction. Joining us live for much more on the sacrament of the anointing of the sick is our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, the pastor of St. Isaac Jogues Parish in Hinsdale, Illinois, the Chicago Cubs Catholic chaplain known as the baseball priest, and a longtime Morning Air contributor. Good morning, Father Burke. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again at the very start here of the Advent season. Happy Advent.
Thanks, John. Always good to be with you. And as you're talking about high school football, I'm one of the chaplains for the Nazareth Academy football team here in LaGrange Park. It's just a few miles from Hinsdale. And we won the 5A state championship as well. An amazing team who started out 2-4 and won their last 8 games to win the state championship. So really proud of those young men.
Outstanding. Congratulations. And, you know, it was great to see the Catholic schools did extremely well here in this state in high school football. So, you know, my hat is off to all the Catholic high schools that were winners this year. Father, last week we talked about the sacrament of the anointing of the sick and what the catechism and what sacred scripture has to say about this beautiful sacrament. Can you give us just a real brief recap of a few of the key points we covered last week?
Yeah, so the scriptural basis for the sacrament comes from James chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. You know, where it literally says, if there's sick among you, send for the priests of the church, will pray over them, anoint them with oil, and the sick persons will be saved. And so that's what we do, you know, from the time of Jesus. We'll hear from a few church fathers today till today. That's what we do. And the church says that sometimes God's will is to heal the person physically, but always the Lord wants to heal spiritually. And some people may say, well, why doesn't God want to heal everyone physically? You know, we know that even, you know, Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, died again. We're all going to die a physical death. But the most important thing is this preparation for eternal life. And sometimes God heals people physically. And we don't know his, you know, bigger will, but it's all meant to lead us to conversion and salvation. And so this beautiful sacrament is, as all the sacraments are, just full of grace, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and it's meant for those who are sick, those who are going to have surgery, those who are elderly, and so we recommend, you know, if you're going in for surgery, ask for anointing even before you go to the hospital. If somebody's at the point of death, of course, send for the priest as well. So those are some of the main points of this beautiful sacrament.
Well, Father Burke, the early church fathers had a lot to say about the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. I wanted to start with Origen in around the year 250 AD. Can you share with us a little bit about what Origen's take on the sacrament of the anointing of the sick was?
Yeah, so this is a quote from Origen, again, middle of the 3rd century. He said, the penitent Christian, so one of the things that's involved in the sacrament is confession. If a person is able to, you know, confess their sins, he says the penitent Christian does not shrink from declaring his sin to a priest of the Lord and from seeking medicine. So talking about confession, and we've already talked about confession in the church fathers, of which the apostle James says, and this is James 5, 13 to 15, if there is anyone sick, let them call for the presbyters or priests of the church and let them impose hands on them. So it's one of the things we do in this sacrament is that we lay hands on the sick person, anointing him with oil, which we do on their forehead and on the palms of their hands, and in the name of the Lord. And a prayer of faith will save the sick person. And if he be in sins, they shall be forgiven him. So again, in the middle of the 3rd century, they were doing exactly what Jesus said to do, and we continue to do this day. And that's one of the goals of this Be Formed series on the sacraments, is for us to see that these sacraments aren't something that that man decided to do or the church decided to do in the last 100 years. But they came right from Christ, and we continue to practice them today, seeing this continuity of the sacraments.
And we see that even in the year 250 AD, Origen already was recognizing this beautiful scripture from the Apostle James in chapter 5 as the basis for the sacrament.
Exactly. Yeah, and I remember my first year in the priesthood, I wanted to see physical miracles all the time. I thought I'd see people getting up out of their beds and walking out of the hospital after I anointed them. And I wanted to see, you know, I wanted to see miracles all over. And honestly, I wasn't seeing those kind of miracles, but there's something much deeper going on. And so I really started to question the power of the sacraments. And so about a year into priesthood, I got a call to go anoint this young girl at the hospital. She was 12 years old, and she had this rare disease, and they just told her parents that she was going to die within a few weeks. Horrible situation, and they were only Spanish speaking, and I was just learning Spanish at the time. I remember going to the hospital really nervous and doubting whether God could do anything, you know. And so I prayed with the family, and I remember her mother's face. You know, she was holding Irisema's hand, who was in a coma, and just tears flowing down her face, husband as well. And I prayed with them. We exchanged phone numbers, and I left. And about a week later, I thought, I better check in, you know, to see how she's doing. And I called her mom, and she said, Father Burke, she's getting better, and the doctors can't explain it. And 3 years later, we celebrated her quinceañera, her 15th birthday. And today, so that'd been 19 years ago, so today she'd be 31. She has some health issues, but she's alive and well today. And whenever I see her parents want to canonize me. And excuse me, and I tell them, you know, it wasn't me. I tell her mom, I said, it was your faith that saved her, I think. She had more faith than I did. And what it taught me was that I never celebrate a sacrament anymore without believing that God's at work. I may not see those physical miracles all the time, but I know that God is at work. And when I celebrate Mass, when I hear confessions, when I anoint the sick. And so I just want to encourage listeners to have faith as we hear Jesus tell the centurion, you know, I haven't seen such faith in Israel, and his servant was healed. So we approach these sacraments with great faith, trusting that God is at work.
Absolutely. And in 325 AD, during the Council of Nicaea, at a time where there were a lot of church fathers participating, the same council that condemned Arianism, that questioned the divinity of Christ, it was at this council that the council fathers also spoke about the sacrament of the anointing of the sick.
Yeah, they said in 325, if any man be at the point of death, he must not be deprived of the last and most indispensable viaticum. And what is viaticum? It's our last communion. It's that food for the journey that's preparing us for our ultimate journey to heaven. And so this is a beautiful thing. When we think about the sacraments of initiation, which are baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist, we think about these sacraments at the end of our life that prepare us to meet the Lord, which is confession, anointing of the sick, and viaticum, which is the Holy Communion, our last Holy Communion. So we see this beautiful parallel at the end of our lives and the beginning of our lives, this and everything in between. You know, that's why we have the Eucharist and confession that we can receive regularly in between. It's that process of sanctification. And then these three sacraments at the end of our lives that prepare us to meet the Lord face to face.
Father Burke, can you explain the difference between the anointing of the sick and the last rites?
Yeah, this is something that, you know, whenever I go to the hospital, people might think, oh, you know, they get nervous when they see a priest because they think it might be the end, you know, just the last rites. Well, you can receive the anointing of the sick at different times in those situations when you're sick, having surgery, elderly. But last rites would be the anointing of the sick along with viaticum. So you can receive communion with this sacrament each time as well. But when somebody's you know, at the point of death, that's when we call it the last rites. It's this last preparation. So confession, anointing of the sick, and communion. And if somebody is not able to go to confession, you can also give them what's called the apostolic pardon, which is this beautiful prayer which the Lord has given the church the ability to forgive somebody's sins, both the guilt of sin and the temporal punishment of sin that prepares them to meet the Lord face to face. So the last rites includes that viaticum, that last communion before someone dies.
And we should always continue to pray for our loved ones right down to the last moment when they receive the anointing of the sick and of viaticum. Father, can you talk about a couple more church fathers real briefly, Bishop Serapion and also St. John Chrysostom?
Sure. Bishop Serapion in 350 A.D., We hear, you know, today the church celebrates a chrism mass where the bishop blesses the holy oils that are used around his whole diocese. And we hear that in 350 AD where this bishop is calling down. He says, Father, we pray that you send down from heaven the healing power of your only begotten son upon this oil. So for those that are anointed, it may be affected for the casting out of every disease and every bodily infirmity, for good grace and remission of sins. And so every bishop around the world has a chrism mass where they bless the oil of the catechumen, which is used for baptism, the oil of the sick, which is used in this anointing of the sick, and the chrism oil, which is used in baptism, confirmation, and holy orders. And I know somebody in my BeForum group said, gosh, how much oil does he have these huge vats? Well, each parish, I know in our diocese, receives a little bottle, maybe about 8 ounces of each of those oils, and they last a while. They last for the year. And if you need extra, the diocese always has more. And then St. John Chrysostom, 387 AD, he says this. He says, the priests of Judaism had the power to cleanse the body from leprosy, or rather not to cleanse it, but declare a person having been cleansed. So Jesus, when somebody was declared cleansed of leprosy, he said, go present yourself to the priest who would allow them then to re-enter the temple, you know, to worship. He says, our priests, the Catholic priests, have received the power not of treating with the leprosy of the body, but with spiritual uncleanness, not of declaring cleanse, but of actually cleansing, working in the person of Christ. So that sense of priests have given this authority from Christ to forgive sins and to heal, sometimes physically, always spiritually, in the name of Jesus. So we always remember that it's Jesus who is working these sacraments through the priests. It's not the priests that are doing it, but it's the Lord working through us. And so we see from the early church on how these sacraments have been passed on from one generation to the next, starting with Christ, continuing through today.
Well, Father Burke, I really appreciate your teachings and obviously your spiritual perspective on what the early church fathers taught about the anointing of the sick. You're headed off to a wonderful retreat this week.
I am. Catholic Athlete for Christ. We have an annual retreat for Major League Baseball in Oceanside, California. And so it's all of the priest chaplains of Major League Baseball teams and current, past, and future Major League stars there. I know you've been there, John. It's a wonderful gathering of men as we, you know, spend time in fraternity prayer and growing in our relationship with the Lord.
It should be a fantastic retreat. Please say hello to Ray McKenna and all the ball players there at the retreat. Father Burke, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome. God bless you and all your listeners.
Many blessings to you. Father Burkemaster is the baseball priest and longtime Morning Air contributor. We need to take a short break. When we come back, pediatric psychologist Dr. Jim Schrader will join us to talk about overcoming resistance to daily exercise, especially after this past Thanksgiving day. Stay with us as Morning Air continues on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Morning Air
with John Morales, Sarah Tafoya, and Glenn Leverett, your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for tuning in on this Cyber Monday morning. It's good to be with you here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. You can always find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. And you can email us your thoughts, morningair@relevantradio.com. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation this morning, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving long weekend. How was your Thanksgiving dinner? Are you still eating some of those leftovers? There's still a few left in our house. After a great feast for many of us, I think that it's timely to talk about the importance of doing daily exercise. I'm sure that's on the minds of a lot of folks on this Monday morning. Joining us live is pediatric psychologist Dr. Jim Schrader to discuss why regular activity is not only a key to being physically and psychologically healthy, but also more socially and spiritually engaged. Dr. Schrader is a married father of eight, an endurance athlete, and vice president in the Department of Psychology and Wellness at Easter Seals Rehabilitation Center in Evansville, Indiana. Dr. Schrader is the author of Confessions of a Carless Commuter and has a new podcast called Living a Whole Christian Life. Good morning, Dr. Schrader. Happy Advent. Thanks for joining us. Good to be with you once again. I hope you had a blessed, long Thanksgiving holiday.
Good morning. Yeah, it was a great, great Thanksgiving holiday, although I always would love another day, but it was wonderful the way it was.
It's amazing how quickly a Monday morning rolls around, especially early Monday morning.
Yeah, that's for sure. Really, really quickly. It condenses the week. But what a great time of year to be talking about this, and excited to be on the show this morning.
Do you think a lot of folks, after eating a ton of turkey and other goodies during the Thanksgiving holiday, are probably thinking about, wow, I really ought to do a little bit of exercise here on this Monday morning? Can you talk a little bit about why daily exercise is indispensable for you, especially being an endurance athlete?
Well, I mean, I'll talk about for me, but I think talk about for everyone. It's really, really interesting when you look at the science of God's design behind what regular movement does for us. And I think that the key thing to say here right off the bat is that movement can look very different for everybody out there, right? For some, it might be walking. For some, it might be swimming. For some, it might just be, you know, again, kind of moving around the backyard. But the key is that no matter where you're at in your movement and what you can do, it's always important to keep activity as central focus, because the science behind this of God's design, it says there are so many things that this improves for us. You know, we know the typical things like the physical, you know, positive outcomes, but more and more the research is very clear that psychologically, you know, here's a great example, that psychologically we know that a regular exercise regimen now can be as effective for mild or moderate depression as medication and as therapy. So, and even socially, we see that conversations that are difficult are better to engage while moving, like walking side by side, than sitting across from each other kind of in a stillness. And so we'll talk about more spiritually. But I think that the key idea is that movement clearly is ordained by God in regards to the design of our bodies and our minds. And so we really have to just kind of find a way to harness it all together.
Dr. Schrader, in your experience, have you seen where exercise is being recommended more than ever in dealing with depression as opposed to just taking drugs?
I am slowly seeing a shift, and that's good, because again, the science supports this clearly, but I think that we're still far behind. I think that if you look at like the antidepressants, I mean, they are a $14+ billion industry a year annually, and so it's slowly gaining traction, but the reality is I think we're far behind, and that's one of the reasons we're having this conversation this morning, is that, you know, we all kind of intuitively know that even if it's cold outside, you know, and I can bundle up, or even if I'm exercising inside, we intuitively know it's good for us. We intuitively know that we feel better oftentimes right after. Like I ran this morning, biked in, and I biked to work, and then I ran a little bit afterwards. And in the moment, I'm kind of like, oh, I don't really want to do it. I don't really feel like doing it. And we'll talk more about the resistance piece. But you know what? While I'm doing it afterwards, I'm so glad that I did, even though, like you said, sometimes, I mean, it's just difficult to get into it.
And obviously, this is something that you know firsthand because you've done a ton of physical training over the years as an Ironman, having participated in a number of ultra marathons. But you don't have to be a marathoner to experience the benefits of exercise.
You don't have to have done a 5K officially or anything to get the benefits. You're exactly right. That's really a big key here. And I think that sometimes people think, oh, well, you've done all those, you know, the longer events. You don't have resistance to exercise. But actually, I do. Actually, pretty much every morning I could talk myself out of it if I wanted to. But the key is really looking again. I think this is where we've talked about before on the show that science clearly outlays out and vindicates God's design. And God's design says that even if all you can do is move your arms, you know, even if you find yourself paralyzed or whatever else, or just do anything, movement itself clearly not only is good for our physical, psychological, and social health, but I would argue that external movement has much to do with kind of the internal movement, even of our soul in many ways. And we could talk about even biblically, there's some evidence that it's clearly we're ordained to move on a consistent basis.
Can you talk a little bit about how exercise can actually honor God, who obviously is the one who created us?
Yeah, this is a really neat thing. And I, you know, let's say 15, 20 years ago, I used to think of exercise like I knew it was important. And I kind of thought, well, this is kind of an obligation, even though at that time I wasn't doing it much in many ways. I've come to realize that, though, if you see God's design, you see that God created this incredible, you know, mind and body. And even if you're listening out there and you think, well, but that's not how I feel, and I understand that, we still have to kind of understand that so much of what goes on inside of us, for even for us to be alive, is incredible. It's mysterious. I mean, you know, even the neurons in our brain, I mean, if we just consider how many miles upon miles that stretches alone just to create a brain that works, we start to have much more great gratitude about our minds and bodies. And then what we find out is that exercise or just regular movement really kind of honors this. It honors that is a real gift that we can do the things that we can do that, you know, no other being can do. And what our role we can play is to be regularly active. And by the way, I use the word exercise regularly because I know people are familiar with that, but I kind of prefer the word like activity, just to say we don't have to like carve out exercise as if it's its own commodity all the time. Many times we can get activity by walking down to the supermarket and grabbing some food or walking somewhere close by instead of taking your car or doing whatever. And so I think it just honors, it really forms this covenant with God that says, hey, I know you gave me so much that I could never give myself. Here in return, I'm going to move with you and, you know, for you to honor that.
Now, despite all the benefits which you've alluded to, and you know, people hear about the benefits of exercise and activity, and just, you know, going out for a walk, people still find ways to say, "Hey, I'm just too busy." They have all kinds of barriers that come up in their lives of reasons not to do something, not to be active, not to do exercise.
Yeah, there is a lot of barriers, and I think we'll probably talk more on the other side of the break about this, but I wrote a series years ago called The Exercise Potential. You can find it on my website, james-trader.com, and I went through what I thought were the top 10 barriers that people face with regards to exercise. And, you know, many of them, we understand this. This is kind of just being human, but it could be things like boredom or feeling lonely or afraid of injuries or fears of something happening on the roadway, or maybe it's just kind of, you know, it's harsh or difficult to kind of start exercise, or, you know, it feels unpleasant. If you go on my website, you can see all the different barriers and then some ideas that we'll talk more about to overcome. But I think one of the biggest barriers of all is what we'll call the internal kind. It's our self-talk, right? And our self-talk can literally lead us out of exercise just as much as we can use it to lead us into exercise. But if we don't address the self-talk barrier, we're never going to get anywhere with sustaining this.
I would imagine that procrastination is a big part of this. You just keep putting, I want to exercise, I want to be active, and you just keep putting it off and putting it off.
Yep. One of the barriers that we talked about on that article was priority, right? I mean, we can always kind of procrastinate to say that other things are more important, but the question is, how much of it is a priority for us to honor God's design through our movement? And I think that we have to ask ourselves that question.
I want to invite our listeners, if you have a question or comment about how to overcome resistance to daily exercise, for pediatric psychologist Dr. Jim Schrader, we're taking your calls, 888-914-9149. If you find it tough to make being active or exercise a priority, we want to hear from you, 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break as we continue our discussion with Dr. Schrader. Stay with us. There is much more on the other side.
Looking at life from a Catholic worldview.
This is Morning Air
with John Morales, Sarah Tafoya, and Glenn Leverett. Sweet dreams are made of
these. Who am I to and decide? Welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for tuning in on this Cyber Monday morning as we're talking about how to overcome resistance to daily exercise with Morning Air regular contributor Dr. Jim Schrader, who is a pediatric psychologist. Dr. Schrader, before the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the barriers. I know you. This is something that you have written about extensively, and we were talking about making exercise or activity a priority. If you could continue a little bit more with that.
So I think that, you know, there's a lot of things in our lives that we clearly make a priority. And it, again, it's understandable. You know, our work, tasks that we have to do around the house, maybe things that we have to do for our kids. I mean, there's a lot of different things that, you know, we clearly say, I have to do this, right? But it's interesting when it comes to regular movement and activity, we really don't necessarily often, I shouldn't say for everybody, but for many of us, you know, make that a priority in the same way that we do with other things, right? Even the same way, like, for example, watching TV or you're getting on the internet or social media, you'll find that if you look at an average person's lifespan, they spend 2 to 3, actually even much more than this on average, but at least 2 to 3 times on like social media than they do with exercise, right? And so it's not really a question for most of us that do we have the time. It really is a question of priority. And I think we have to kind of be honest with ourselves about this, that I know that it's difficult. I know there are a lot of obstacles and barriers, like you said, that I've written a decent amount about. But in the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves, is regular movement truly a priority like I allow other things to be, or is it something that I see as being, you know, optional? And I think that if you ask yourself that question and you see that you kind of see it in an optional way, even though you know in many ways that our God ordained, you know, that movement is really, really good for us, then you have to start there, because any type of self-talk is going to work off of that, right? If you see exercise as not a covenant with God and you see it as optional, you're probably going to talk yourself out of it many different ways. And you're probably going to have ways to procrastinate and get away from it. But if you do see it as something central, and again, there's so many spiritual benefits, I would argue with this too. If you see it as something central to your life, that movement is a part of it, even though you'll encounter resistance, you're going to increasingly find your way through that resistance. And I think that's really important for us to consider.
888-914-9149. Deb is joining us this morning from Providence, Rhode Island. Good morning, Deb. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Dr. Jim Schrader.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Loud and clear.
Okay. Okay, good. Well, I was just listening, and I think everybody struggles with that. It's just like staying on a good diet. I think it's having the right mental attitude. And with exercise, I think that people have to realize that it's a profound gift to be able to move your body like that and to be able to get up and go out and walk or bike or jog, whatever works for you, just to be consistent, because it is a gift to be able to move like that. And, you know, 10 years could pass and you could maybe you don't have that ability anymore because you're older. And, you know, I have an aunt who developed polio at age 15, and she lived her life in a wheelchair. And to her, to be able to just take a walk was just, she couldn't do it. So I'm 67 and I get on a bike and I go out for 45 minutes, and I just thank God that I can do that, that I have the ability to bicycle at my age. And I love it, and it just feels so great. So I think people have to see it as a gift.
You know what? You nailed it. That's exactly right. It is a profound gift. And I think that for anybody who has not been able to move, right, or even if you had an injury yourself and then it stopped you from moving, you realize in those moments how much it is a gift, right? But I think we, when we're able to move, it's easy to take it for granted. It's easy to find ourselves out, you know, getting out of it. And but the reality is that movement, and there are so many things beyond even this conversation today that it affords us and allows us to connect with God. And so much of what I've done, by the way, like the Iron Man is part of a book that I wrote because it was really my connection with God early on in so many different ways. And I think that if we see it as a profound gift, we will, again, we'll make it a priority because we want that. It's in many ways like saying, God, I love you, and I love that you've given me this gift, and I'm going to work through these obstacles because I want to be closer to you through this gift that you've given me. And I think that's such a great key, and I really appreciate you sharing this morning.
Really appreciate it, Deb. Thanks so much for sharing. Diane is joining us from California. Good morning, Diane. Welcome to Morning Air.
Good morning. What a great topic, because today I was saying is the day I have to get back at it after eating too much over the holidays. And when the days start getting shorter, I don't have as much opportunity to do the things that I like to do. And it really, really wears on a person that suffers with depression. And the way that I use it to get closer to God is I play horseshoes. That's my sport. And when I'm training and when I'm putting in the practice, sometimes it gets a little boring, the same thing over and over. And I've started listening to Relative Radio while I do those things. And it's really been a gift to me to be able to go closer to God and to be more catechized and stronger in my faith, and also working on my body, not so much for losing weight or any of those kinds of things, because at my age, you know, as you get older, those things are less important. But just the movement of playing horseshoes is something that I really enjoy, and it makes me feel a whole lot better, and also able to be around people, the social aspect of it. And it's something, it's a sport that people do into their 80s. On a national level, people compete and get together and socialize. So I just wanted to share that with you, and thank you for your program. It's really, as I said, a very good one today to say, okay, today's the day. Even though it's cold, I can do other things movement-wise and get going.
Thanks so much, Diane.
That was wonderful. You know what I'd love? I don't want to supersede my role as a guest here, but I think it'd be awesome if you, everyone this morning listening, just flooded the Relevant Radio social media with all the different ways they love to move and all the different ways they celebrate God in movement. I think that would be beautiful this morning. And she said something that I think that was really key. There was a years ago, some of your listeners may have read Dr. George Sheehan. He was kind of known as the running doctor. He was a cardiologist who also was like a 21-time Boston Marathon participant. And he said, you know what, even though exercise can add longevity and it can do lots of different things, he said, above all, we really should focus on more about adding not so much years to our life, but life to our years. And I think that's what the last caller was really talking about. Like, you know, we can only control so many things, right? But when you're living, why not add life to our years, right? By things that you can do and moving together and celebrating that. I have to tell a quick story of this. Right after Thanksgiving, we took off with my older kids and a couple friends on a river trail that we've been doing over the last couple of years, and we backpacked for a couple of days, about 27 miles. And it was such, you know, again, is it difficult? Yes. But over that 27 miles, I can't tell you the number of prayers I said of thanks and gratitude for being with my kids in this beautiful scenery in southern Illinois on the River to River Trail, and how much it just brought just us closer to each other and closer to God and the natural elements. And I think there's so much out there in this crazy world today that could be much simpler and much more peaceable if we just went out in quiet movement with ourselves and others and went forward from that way.
Dr. Schrader, we have time to squeeze in Dave from Appleton, Wisconsin. Good morning, Dave, real quick.
Good morning. Hey, love to exercise, love the outdoors. 62 years old, but the problem is the soreness in the arthritis that prevents me from doing all the things I want to do. And how do I diagnose how to take care of that? Is it dietary things? Is there a way I can find out so I can exercise more?
Yeah, I I'm obviously not my area of expertise, but I say find a really good physical therapist. You know, obviously make sure that you go to your doctor and there's nothing that is truly structurally wrong. And there is a lot more, and we could talk about a whole segment around the foods that we eat, how we kind of organize our sleep and other things that can help with arthritis from a scientific standpoint. But lots of deterrents, but I appreciate you sharing that this morning.
Dave, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Dr. Schrader, this has been a fabulous conversation, very timely, especially after Thanksgiving. And I think we have gotten a lot of people thinking about this topic. Thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Really enjoyed it.
Many blessings. Dr. Jim Schrader, pediatric psychologist and a Morning Air contributor. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Beginning our series of Advent and Christmas stories today, our story today called The Manger from Lon Hilton. No matter how many times I read this, I just cannot do it without getting chills all over me. I bet you didn't know the following about the manger that Jesus was laid in. Of course, mangers are animal feeding troughs, but in ancient Israel they were made of stone, not what you'd see in a modern-day nativity scene. Not comfortable, but great for protection. That's why those who were experts in this matter, the priests, would put their newborn lambs in them for protection. But not just any lamb, the unblemished perfect lambs that were used in the sacrifice for sins. And Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, was famous for their unblemished lambs used for the sacrifice. These lambs had to be perfect, so they would wrap them tightly in cloth and lie them in the manger to keep them safe. This is exactly the only time mangers are mentioned in Jesus' birth story, told to the shepherds. In Luke 2, it says, "This will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloth lying in a manger." The shepherds would have understood this powerful parallel. They knew what the cloth and the manger meant. This baby would be the perfect Lamb of God, the Messiah who would sacrifice his life for the sins of the whole world. It wasn't just a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. He was God, perfect, sinless, and holy, humbling himself to become the perfect sacrifice to reconcile us back to himself. That, my friend, that perfect Lamb, is why we celebrate Christmas. From Luke 2:12, "And this will be a sign for you. You'll find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger."
Thanks, Glenn, for the reminder that baby in the manger is what it's all about. In these final few days of November, let's pray for our departed family members and loved ones and honor the Mother of God by praying the family rosary across America with Father Rocky, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. That'll do it for this Cyber Monday edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, producer Sarah Tafoya, Gabby Burke, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God bless America. We'll see you tomorrow on the next Morning Air. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.